What does it mean to experience a deadly epidemic?
In recent months, people have struggled with this question, but it's not a new question. Welcome to Experiencing Epidemics podcast. We are Gaspar Jakovac,
Jorge Diaz Ceballos,
and Ian Hathaway, and we want to explore this question as historians by delving into personal narratives drawn from the long history of people's encounters with epidemics.
We do so thanks to the contributions of scholars based at the European University Institute and beyond.
This project is brought to you as part of the COVID-19 Knowledge Hub of the European University Institute. Enjoy the show.
Welcome to episode 6 of Experiencing Epidemics podcast. My name is Gaspar Jakovac, and on today's show we'll be traveling to South America, both through time and through the wonders of modern technology. But before we introduce our guest, I wanted to welcome my co-editor Ian Hathaway, who is joining me from Germany. Hi Ian, how are you doing?
Hello to you, Gaspar, and hello to all our listeners. I am, well, fine, I suppose. In as much as I am doing my best to, you know, keep up with my work and life, considering the current state of Europe.
Yeah, yes. COVID continues to rage around the world, doesn't it? But I have high hopes that the situation will improve in the next year.
Well, I suppose we're all waiting to see how the development and the distribution, particularly of the vaccines, play out now. Fingers crossed for more good news.
Yeah, certainly. Let's hope at least that the full-blown lockdowns will become a thing of the past come spring 2021. So, can you tell us a bit about who is our guest today?
Of course. Our guest today is Tomas Tassinari. He is a doctoral researcher in the Department of History of the European University Institute. He is a historian of West Central Africa, and his research focuses on the early colonization of Congo and Angola during the 16th and 17th centuries, and he is particularly interested in the activities of the Jesuits in those regions.
Yeah, he prepared a really fascinating piece about the impact of infectious disease on Brazilian indigenous populations in the 16th century, and how the patterns from the past seem to be repeating again today.
And he does so by looking at letters of the Jesuits. As Tomas will explain in a minute, the Jesuits followed Portuguese ships to all corners of the world and maintained constant correspondence with their base in Rome. So this body of letters that they wrote is an incredible source for historians, but not an unproblematic one, as we will hear.
Absolutely, yeah. Tomás, however, is still stuck in Brazil, so he couldn't record his essay in the Radio Cavalo studio at the EUI, which is what we plan to do initially. I suppose we should stress that we are doing our best to keep a good standard of audio quality, but given the circumstances, we urge our listeners to be patient if we ever fall short of expectations.
Well, putting together these episodes has certainly been a challenge, and we really are doing the best we can in these conditions. On the bright side, it's actually kind of nice to hear birds chirping in the background of the recording today. It makes me think of distant summer.
Oh, yeah. Well, great talking to you, Ian, however briefly. Let's now listen to Tomás' essay on Jesuit reductions and epidemics in Brazil. I'm looking forward to this.
Likewise.
When the COVID-19 pandemic reached Brazil, it soon became clear that the virus was not as democratic as some had first imagined. At the very beginning, the ones who were infected the most were the wealthy people who had the means to travel through Europe and Asia, and who actually brought the virus from abroad. However, as the weeks went on, the virus began to disproportionately affect the less privileged. Those inequalities became even more explicit when the COVID-19 reached the indigenous population of Brazil, particularly those who live in the Amazon region. Far away from the best hospitals, immunologically defenseless, and without the means to be isolated from urban centers, numbers show that the indigenous populations are suffering from the pandemic more dramatically than any other group. As a historian of the 16th century Portuguese Empire, these events bring to mind at least two important questions. First, I wonder how does the history of previous epidemics help us to understand the origins of those social and racialized inequalities? And secondly, I ask myself what can the history of the Amerindian populations teach us about the COVID-19 crisis? The first systematic written sources about Brazilian indigenous populations were penned by Jesuit missionaries. The Jesuits, together with Portuguese officials and merchants, soon spread to all corners of the world, to places such as India, Japan, Congo, and Brazil, where they would try to convert indigenous people to the Christian faith. While they grappled with the enormous cultural diversity they encountered, the Jesuits had the institutional obligation of constantly writing to Rome, so that they could justify their actions among the populations that had, until recently, been generally unknown among other Europeans. Today, these letters are rich sources for us to think about the history of Brazilian indigenous populations. But any historian who reads these sources needs to be aware of the fact that the Jesuit missionaries projected their own prejudices and categories onto the indigenous populations they were describing. For instance, the Jesuits would frequently repeat that, since the indigenous languages did not have the letters L, F, and R, the indigenous populations would not have any law, faith, and ruler. Moreover, the nudity of the Amerindians would cause repulsion to Jesuit observers, to the point that they would even question if the Amerindian were truly human beings, capable of recognizing and adoring the only and true God of the Christians. This was an important question, because during their first year among the Brazilian Amerindians, the Jesuits completely failed to convert them. The missionaries would explain the mysteries of the Christian faith to their indigenous audience. Soon after these explanations, the Amerindians would apparently agree with all the points made by the missionaries, as if they were set on becoming good Christians. However, after some days, they would forget their catechism and return to their gentile customs. To overcome what was thought to be an inconstancy of the Indian soul, in the 1550s, the Jesuit missionaries, led by their superior Manuel da Nóbrega, established a new plan to convert the indigenous populations. They realized that visiting the natives in their own communities was fruitless. Thus, the only alternative would be to construct missionary villages, where the Jesuits would force the Amerindians to live according to European customs. These villages were known as reduções, reductions in English, because their goal was to reduce the indigenous populations to the manners of Christian civilization. São Paulo, the biggest city of Latin America, was once a Jesuit reduction. In fact, the Jesuits' plan to reduce the indigenous populations was quite effective. As a result, the missionaries managed to bring diverse indigenous tribes together from all over Brazil to live in these recently founded villages close to the sea, where the Merovingians would also work as slaves to produce sugarcane. Once they stopped being nomads, new dangers were around the corner for the indigenous peoples. In 1563, a first wave of smallpox dramatically affected the Amerindian populations who lived in the Jesuit reductions of Bahia, where the Portuguese had established the capital of Brazil. In their letters, the Jesuits described the villages totally devastated by the disease, in which no one was left to dig the graves of those who had died last. Consequently, their remains were eaten by pigs who would then spread the infection to other villages. It is difficult to translate these descriptions of the disease from Portuguese to English, because many of the Portuguese words the Jesuits employed are not really in use anymore. I imagine it was difficult even for them, at that time, to find the correct words to describe such horrific scenes. Many sources refer to the odor of the putrescent bodies. In 1564, Jesuit Antonio Blasquez wrote, I quote, "So revolting and heinous was the reek of that illness that no one could tolerate it, so that many Indians would die eaten by the worms conceived in their bodies." End of quote. Burning in flames of high fever, their flesh would putrefy so that their bones would become apparent, wrote another missionary, Pedro da Costa, in 1565. It so happened that European settlers and African slaves would bring to South America viruses and bacteria against which the indigenous population had no immunological defense, such as the variola viruses that caused smallpox. To make things worse, the Amerindians were basically nomads until the arrival of the Europeans. If they had persisted being nomads, the effects of disease would probably not have been so dramatic. But forced by the Jesuits to live in the missionary reductions, the impacts of the smallpox was devastating for those who did not manage to run from these villages and keep social distance from the white man. The demographic impact of these epidemics is difficult to calculate. Besides little exploited archaeological data, the main sources for approximations are exactly these Jesuit letters, according to which the population of the reductions declined to one quarter of its original amount in few months. Christian missionaries would blame the outbreaks on the local indigenous pagan customs. For instance, the Jesuit Leonardo Duvalli wrote that the disease was caused by a shaman who claimed to be a prophet. Thus, God would have punished those who dared to believe in this false prophet. I quote, "so that their sins were castigated with a strange plague." In our current times, the COVID-19 crisis has reminded us that some aspects of this horrendous past are not gone. For example, in January 2020, a few months before the virus reached Brazil, the president Jair Messias Bolsonaro suggested that, I quote, "the Indians are increasingly becoming human beings just like us," end of quote. It is clear that Bolsonaro echoes, perhaps unconsciously, the sentiment that was common among 16th century Jesuits, for whom the conversion of Amerindians to Catholic faith went hand in hand with restoring their human dignity, which indigenous people supposedly lacked before the arrival of the Europeans. After the outbreak of the COVID-19 pandemic, the Brazilian indigenous populations rapidly organized themselves. Already in February, they asked for federal aid to organize a sanitary isolation. Official answers were late in coming. The most isolated populations had to wait until a very late answer from Supreme Court, which in August decided that the federal government had to adopt a series of measures to contain the COVID-19 contagion and mortality among the indigenous population. It was already too late. To make things even worse, as we know, the new coronavirus targets above all the elderly. For the indigenous people, these elders are not disposable. For them, the elderly are an indispensable repository of traditional knowledge, much of which is passed by word of mouth from generation to generation. By attacking a whole generation of indigenous elders, COVID-19 may be irreparably damaging indigenous history, just as other epidemics had already done in the past. However, against all odds, the Amerindian populations will survive once again, as will Western civilization. But the COVID-19 pandemic has indubitably reminded us how fragile the human condition is. If we are now fearing, with some reason, that the world as we know is coming to an end, then truly we have much to learn from the indigenous people of Brazil. Their lives have been collapsing since the 16th century, and they have already come up with effective ideas to postpone the end of the world. Ailton Krenak, one of the most important indigenous leaders from Brazil, argues that it is unsustainable to imagine the humankind as something apart from nature. That is to say, disconnected from the ecologies we are part of. In the 16th century, the Jesuit reductions, as symbols of early modern globalization, brought dramatic ecological consequences to the indigenous populations of Brazil. We could have expected that our limitless globalization, which aims at reducing the world into a sort of a single global village, would have brought us the same sort of ecological impacts that has affected Amerindians for centuries. In other words, maybe the COVID-19 crisis can teach us that we are indeed responsible for the world we are part of, something the Amerindian populations have been trying to tell us for a very long time.
Thank you so much to Tomás for this piece. It really is striking to see the heritage of 16th century imperial mindsets play out in public debate today. Thank you, of course, to Gaspar Jakovac for hosting this episode with me, and to all those who have once again tuned in to listen to us.
And as always, if you like what you've heard, please join us again in 2 weeks when we welcome 3 guests, Professor Nuket Varlik and Giancarlo Casale, and EY PhD researcher Tuna Handurmaz to talk about Ottoman experiences of epidemics. Till next time, stay safe.